Amen. Praise God for this wonderful day that He has given us and the fact that we could gather in His presence to hear His word that is powerful enough to direct our lives. Praise be to God. The Bible says God created the universe with His words. He spoke His words. And the Bible says when He spoke, then things became. And we know that things exist today because of the word of God that is holding everything together. So we thank God for that. So if we put our trust then in His word, if His word can hold everything together, the whole earth, the whole universe, the heaven, praise the Lord, we know that the word of God can keep our lives together. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, I thank God today we've come to the end of our series. I'm not excited that it is over. We've come to the end of the series, but I just thank God for the word that He has shared with us regarding our completeness in Christ. You know, the Bible talks about the fact that when we stand before God, John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, we will worship God in spirit and in truth. We don't stand before God in our own strength, in our own capabilities, in what we can do, but we stand before God in spirit, in who we are in spirit. And the truth that has set us free, the truth of Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. So now that's how we stand before God. When God looks at us now, He never sees the natural. He has chosen. Praise the Lord. That's what Ephesians chapter 1 says. It says God has chosen to see us holy and without blame in Christ. The Bible does not say that we do not have blame. It says God has chosen to see us as without blame. And we've got a perfect example when Israel was moving out of Egypt, when the prophet tried to speak words, a curse upon Israel as directed by a particular king. God said to that prophet, God has not seen iniquity in Israel. Romans chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. The Bible says, God now imputes righteousness to us without works. And He has removed our sins from us. And then He says as well, He will not impute sin to us. So when we sin, God does not hold that in our account. He does not keep that to say we have sinned and that is how He deals with us. No. Only the devil does that. But it doesn't matter because he cannot now go before God and accuse us before God. For the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died for all our sins. So how can the devil have access to God now to accuse us of our sins? He cannot. Praise be to God. So we can then walk in this freedom then of knowing that God deals with us in the Spirit. And then we look at our lives. The Bible teaches us now that as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Our lives are being transformed because of us beholding. Now, we change our lives not by doing, but by beholding the glory of the Lord. Amen. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says there, as we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the fact that now God does not consider our sins That does not mean that then our lives will be a mess. As we walk in the Spirit, in who we are in the Spirit, the Bible says what will happen? We will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We no longer achieve according to our works. That is how Israel achieved. That is how God received them. That was still tempered with the grace of the Lord, because God then instituted this process of bringing animals to die in the place of a man that had sinned, an innocent animal. He dealt with them according to their works, but there was grace there. Now, in our case, the Bible says Jesus Christ died for us. So God does not deal with us that same way anymore. Now we just believe and we receive. Praise be to God. Now, as we are concluding this part, let us read our foundation scripture, which has been a blessing for us for now. This is the 15th week of us reading this verse, all these verses. And I'm telling you, the word of God is rich. There is a lot in this. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. The Bible says, "As you therefore have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him." You are rooted and built up in him. You will see today, we will read in the book of Ephesians where it talks about being rooted and built up in and grounded in love. And we know that Christ is what? Love. His character is love. So this part here, it says, let us be rooted and built up in him, in what he did for us in love. And established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, in Christ, the one that we are built up on, the one that we are grounded on, the one that we are rooted to, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. So through our roots, we can get everything that is part of the Godhead. Praise the Lord. And verse 10 says, you are complete in him. You lack in no good thing. Praise the Lord. Who is the head of all principality and power. So the devil can no longer accuse us before God. Because Christ has made us complete. Hallelujah. Now today we are going to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. So we are completing this third chapter of the book of Ephesians. And that's where we are ending with this title. Verse 14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." When we come before God, there are many ways that we can present ourselves before him. We can present ourselves bowing down before him. We can present ourselves with our hands lifted high. We can enter in with praise. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it is talking about now, this is him now presenting himself before the Lord. He says he bows down. He bows down before the Lord. And verse 15 says, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Saints both in heaven and those that are still on earth are named after him. We all belong to him. We are one. It's just that others have passed on to another life. And that is still coming for us that are here on earth. So they are not better than us. We are not better than them. We just have to focus on the assignment that we have while we are here on earth. And we know that one day when we cross over from this life, we are going to enter into his presence. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And verse 16, that he would grant you, he is praying now, I'm praying that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. These people are already born again. They have Christ inside them. The Holy Spirit already lives within them. And this man, he's praying that they may be strengthened with might through the Holy Spirit in their inner man. What is he talking about? When he's talking about the inner man, he's talking about their hearts, not their spirit. We'll see that when we continue in verse 17. So what we know is that our spirits are perfect before God. So our spirits do not need to be strengthened with might. Only our hearts that need to be strengthened with might. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17, the Bible says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. So our spirits are one with the spirit of Jesus Christ. So we're exactly the same. We are joined together. You can't separate us from Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. And Colossians chapter 2 verse 10, the Bible says, and you are complete in him. So we don't need to be strengthened in our spirits. Praise the Lord. So let's read that verse again. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So this verse is speaking about what happens when we get revelation of a truth of God. When we get the revelation of a truth of God, the Holy Spirit comes and he strengthens our hearts. So in other words then, he takes control of both the attitude and the conduct. Our spirit knows the truth already. Our spirit is full of the truth already. But then now, when we then get a revelation of the truth in our hearts, what happens then is the Holy Spirit then comes and strengthens our hearts. You must remember, the Bible says you must guard your heart because out of it flows all the issues of life. We cannot say we are perfect in the spirit and not care how our hearts are. We need to look after our hearts, because out of our hearts will flow all the issues of life. Now, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. How? What does this mean? That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Can you see that the Bible now is clear? It's saying in your hearts. It's not saying in your inner man. Hearts. And that's where I was saying When we get to this verse, we will be able to see that when the Bible is talking about the inner man, it's talking about the heart, not the spirit. We know that our spirits are joined with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ dwells in our spirits. That's what the Bible tells us. But now here, he is praying that let's not just have Christ. This word here is talking to us saying, we know the truth of our completeness in Christ. We want that truth to come to our lives, daily lives. But how is it going to start manifesting in our lives? It needs to first be translated to our hearts. Once the truth is in our hearts, then we'll be able to see it coming to pass. That's why this man of God now is praying that the Holy Spirit will strengthen us in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts. But now look at how Christ dwells in our hearts. It says, through faith, not through feelings, not through emotions, that I can feel him. He is here. No, it says, let him dwell in your hearts. How? Through faith. We worship God in spirit and in truth. And that is faith. We don't worship him in the flesh. Praise the Lord. Check this out. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. The Bible says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So this verse is telling us that we already have the Spirit of Christ in us. So we are his. But if we did not have the Spirit of Christ in us, that would mean we are not his. But that scripture, it's not saying to us, Christ does not dwell in us. He is in us, in our spirits. But he's saying, let Christ come to where? To our hearts. Now, let's just look a little bit more into this thing of the heart. When you go to the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 34, the Bible tells us about Jesus now speaking to the Pharisees. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So this still showing us that you may find something bad coming out of our hearts as well. But it will not be coming from our spirits. So our heart then, according to the word of God, the heart then is made up of our soul and our spirit. When you read the Bible, many verses, you see that when the Bible talks about the heart, it tells us the fact that the heart has got the characteristics of the soul as well as the spirit combined together. So that is where things happen. So where do we need the revelation then? The spirit knows everything, has all the answers. But then the soul needs what? The revelation. So what happens then is, that's where the two come together. And when they agree, then we have a revelation. Praise the Lord. So the presence of Christ must become a reality in believers' souls. How do we get that? We get it through renewing our minds, as it is stated in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So verse 17, when the Bible says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, we now know what the heart is. But then the Bible continues, it says that you being rooted and grounded where? In love. Now, bazalwane, this verse here is not talking about our love. It is talking about God's love for us. God is talking about the need for us to be rooted and grounded in love. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. The Bible says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So if we were to define God, who is God? God is love. Everything that he does it out of what? Love. And verse 9 says, in this is beautiful now. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, this is the big thing that God did to manifest his love. That was to send his Son to come and die for us. Die in our place. So that we might be able to live through him. There is nothing bigger than that. So God has shown us his great love. And therefore, if we can have that relationship with him, if we can have that gift from him, it means we can access anything then from God. Verse 10 says, in this is love. It's telling us about the priority now. It says, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. When we talk about love, it says, it is not that we love God, but it is that he loved us. So our love does not matter. You know, when it comes to Israel, God said to them, he said, these people serve me with their lips and actions, but their hearts are far from me. The Bible talks about loving God with all of your strength, with all of your mind. And the Bible says that summed up the whole law. So if we are still trying to love the Lord with all of our mind, our strength, and everything else, and we want to measure in that, actually we are still putting ourselves under the law. And the fact of the matter is, we will never be able to love him with all of our hearts. So God is no longer then looking for that kind of love from us. Now, this is love. Verse 10. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Praise the Lord. And I think verse 19 here, it talks about, because he loved us first, then we can love him back. So our love now comes from his love for us. Let's continue with verse 18, Ephesians chapter 3. It says, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ. You see, it confirms as well verse 17, when we're saying this love is not about our love, it is the love of God. So now it says here, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Think about this. It says we must know. When the word there is talking about this know, he's talking about us experiencing the love of God. It is not this mental knowledge of the love of God, but it's talking about us experiencing this love of God. It says this love of God is beyond our comprehension. We cannot comprehend it. But it's praying that we may experience it. When we are consumed now by how much God loves us, we will then be filled with all his fullness. So what we need to be pushing towards and going for, what we should prioritize in our relationship with God, it should be to understand his love for us. Because once we understand his love for us, then we'll be able to be filled with all his fullness. We are seeking his fullness in our lives. But if we are seeking his fullness, not by seeking to understand his love, we'll not be able to experience his fullness. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, the Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is how we will see grace and peace being multiplied to us, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. But now, what have we just seen here in verse 18 of chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians? Is that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. So, to see grace and peace, we must seek to experience. Remember now, Paul here is praying, that I am praying for you, that you may experience the love of God. He's not saying just have it in your head, knowing it in your head only. He says, but I want you to come to a point where you experience it. The Bible says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. So as we seek him with all of our hearts, what will happen is we will be able to find him. And as we find him, we will experience what? Grace and peace. But what of God are we seeking? Are we seeking his holiness? Are we seeking his justice? No. The Bible says we should seek what? His love. That we may know his love. Romans chapter 8 verse 32. The Bible says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Why? Because he loved us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It says with him. So we need to focus on, do we have him? Do we have his love? Have we experienced that? Once we understand that great love for us, then we will be able to receive all things that are freely given to us. And verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 3, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now you see here, Paul has prayed. He has finished praying for them. He is now closing his prayer, and in him closing his prayer, he's now just declaring who God is. He's saying now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, but how? According to the power that works in us. What is the power that is working in us? The Bible says we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ being the power of God. The Bible talks about faith being power. The Bible talks about love being power. When the Bible here is talking about us receiving all that we ask or think about according to the power that works in us, in other words, it's talking about all his power. The power of the Holy Spirit is working there in your heart, strengthening your heart. That is the power of God. So now what you should seek, as Paul is praying here, seek that your heart be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Then as your heart is being strengthened by the Holy Spirit, what will happen is you will see what you're looking for. The Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As you allow your faith, as you release your faith, the Bible says God will meet your need. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this is where we end this message. So we are ending this message with our focus being on the fact that Jesus Christ is love. God expressed his love to us through Jesus Christ. When we focus on Jesus Christ, who is love, we will be able to see our completeness. We need to come to a point where we see our completeness. Only then we will be filled with the fullness of God. As we want to see the fullness of God, let us focus on the love of God, who is Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.